We are back in Ephesians. I'm going to do three verses today. Okay, so we're in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. This is one of the most memorized verses of the Bible, Ephesians 2, 8. Do anybody know it? For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no man should boast. Right? That's one of the memorized ones. It resembles the verse in Romans that transformed Martin Luther from being a Catholic monk to a Protestant reformer, and his was, the just shall live by faith. And that's what kind of triggered him to, you mean I don't have to do all these works? So, faith is the instrument that avails oneself of salvation, which God offers in pure grace. So faith is the instrument that leads to salvation, but that God gives it because it's got by God's grace. So you have faith, you have salvation, and you have God's grace. So the only way to apprehend salvation is by, go ahead, say it, faith. Okay, it's all right. No trick questions. And how do you spell faith? R-I-S-K. That's a trick question. Yeah, you spell faith, R-I-S-K, risk. Risk for God. Yeah. Also, fear and faith can't coexist because both project into the future. One's based on God and the other one's based on the devil. Okay? And it says that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. So if it's a gift of God, is there any way that you can earn it? No. You have to receive it, right? So if it's a gift, it's also not sourced in yourself, is it? Can't give yourself a gift. Oh, I guess you can. Some of us just got done with Christmas time, so end up, oh, I like that. Maybe I'll give that to so-and-so. Regifting, yes, regifting. So who has more faith? Is it a contest or competition? No. Nope. Remember the faith of a mustard seed? A little tiny mustard seed. So Galatians 2:20 is another one that people like to memorize. Do you know what that is? I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Remember? In that, it says, I live by faith, and most of your Bibles will say in the Son of God. But the original in the Greek is of the Son of God. That's interesting. So it's not out of works, and it's not out of merit, and it's not out of producing anything. I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's God's faith. That's Jesus' faith in you. Now that puts a little different spin on it, doesn't it? See, it's not like, I got to have faith. Can I borrow your faith? Can I borrow some of your faith? It's, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. So it's a gift that has to be received, right? If somebody gives you a gift, can you just leave it wrapped? Guess you can, right? But you have to open it. And it's the same thing as Romans 4, where Abraham, his faith justified him, not his works. So how does works and faith, how does this work? You know what I mean? How do you balance this thing? Because grace glorifies God and works glorifies man. So is there no works? Do we not have any works? Where does works come in? So, while you were gone, I wrote something on the board. So, I have this outlined on the board so you can write it down. Because otherwise, I have to go real slow. You know. We know how that is, right? What'd he say? So, here's an explanation of what works looks like from James and from Paul. Okay? James, when he talks about works, he's talking about the fruit, the outworking. Paul talks about the root. So basically what he's saying is, I live by faith of the Son of God, or for by grace we have been saved through faith. Okay? That's the root. James talks about the fruit, the outward things that you see. We've often said, no root, no fruit. Right? No root, no fruit. James, his works are after salvation, and Paul says it's the moment of salvation. Okay? The moment of salvation. What does Jesus say? These are the works of God, that you believe in whom he has sent. So again, he goes to tie works in with belief. James, man's part, okay, that we walk out in it. And Paul is God's part. God's the one that gives you the works, and we're going to look at that more. Because it says, I live by faith of the Son of God, right? He's already doing the works. You've got to step in them. James is validation of your faith, and Paul is justification of your faith. Okay? And then James, when you read the first part of James, it's practical outworking of your faith, and Paul's is positional inworking. Basically, because you're in Christ, positionally, you get to do the works of God. Is that all that makes sense? See the difference? Okay? So again, Paul is the root. It's the moment of salvation. It's God's part. It's justification of your faith and positionally in working because you're in Christ. James is the fruit. It's after salvation. It's man's part. It's the validation of your faith, and it's the practical outworking. Now, how do you get practical outworking? What is that? It says, the next part is, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. Our salvation is not of ourselves. We ourselves are a piece of work. Right? Everybody would say, yes, I'm a piece of work. We say that all the time. Tony's father used to say that all the time. He's a piece of work. That word there for workmanship, does anybody know that Greek word? Poem, yeah. What do we get that? What word? Very good. Boy, we have a Greek scholar in our midst. See, all that coming to Wednesday night, you know, that all pays off. That all that Wednesday night pays off. Poema. What does that sound like? Poema. Poem. That's what it is. It's a poem. That's where we get the word poem from. So it's the poem means to do or to make. A poem means something made, like you're making somebody a poem or writing somebody a poem. So you are God's poem. Okay? Created in Christ Jesus. You're not created apart from Christ Jesus. You're created with union with him, with a view towards good works, that we should walk in them. Okay? God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What does that mean? God's the one who prearranged and made ready the good works. Do you remember when you were a little kid, and if you were around like heavy snow, and your parent took their step with their boots, and then you went into their step because the snow was too high, right? And you would step in their footsteps all the way. That's what it means. God's already made the footstep in the snow, and you get to step in that footstep and follow his steps. Good works which you should walk in them. He makes the good works. Jesus says that he did nothing on his own initiative. Even Jesus says, I do not do this on my own initiative. I do what the Father shows me to do. What the Father's doing, I'm doing. Even Jesus. So if it's good enough for Jesus, it should be good enough for us. Right? So what he sees the Father doing, he's doing. So there's a domain that God wants us to operate in. And you need to know what that domain is. Because I think a lot of times what people do is they get competing with other people. And like in the early 80s when we had a lot of ministries that exploded, I think what happens is there's a sphere of ministry and a sphere of blessing that God wants us to operate in. And what we do is we like to poke our nose out through the corral and go, I should be over here doing this. Really? You have grace and mercy for this. But you should, but usually men are like, you know, you're too big for Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I won't mention any any ministries from that. But you know what I mean? So you need to be over here and you need to be worldwide. Really? Did God call you to be worldwide? He did. Go for it. So you need to operate within the domain which actions should move within. God's the designer who makes ready the works which we need to make the aim of our lives. So our aim, the aim of our lives should be what? Realize what the works are, walk in them, and rest in them. That's three things. You got to realize what those works are, walk in them, and rest in them. And then you're going to sit and say, how do you know the will of God? How do you even know what you're supposed to walk in, right? Well, if God's the originator and not our actions or our merit, what is he looking at as far as, you know, wanting you to operate within this sphere? Well, first of all, this has been one of the biggest points that I have, when I meet with people, especially with career stuff, how do I know I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to do? How do I know what my gifts are? How do I know what my talents are? Okay? And, you know, Terry said the same thing today when she was talking about the tabernacle being built. There were certain people that were given skills to do certain things in the tabernacle. And God says, I put the skill in the hands of the skillful. Okay? So, if I know, as I'm growing, that me and numbers just do not match, and I can meet with Mr. Yeagley all I want to understand math, and I still get a D, then guess what? I'm probably not going to be really good with math. I'll call Trent and say, help me with math, help me with numbers, because he's natural with numbers. Okay? So that's one way to get to know what they are. Two is, a lot of times there are certain things that you just do, and other people say, wow, you do that really well, and you go, what? There's no big deal. Well, because it's just like, it's just something natural. So, we need to walk in those things. And there are some people that can confirm things to you. Okay, let's say you take an assessment and you share it with three people and they say, yeah, I see that. You're really good with problem solving. You're really good with starting things up. You're really good as a teacher. You know, whatever it is. And we're like, what? That doesn't mean anything to me because it's just something I do naturally. But there's also times where the natural things, the Lord has your greatest area of spiritual testing is in your greatest area of natural talent. Because you could just naturally do things on your own, and God's like, no, you're not going to get out ahead of me. You're not going to get out ahead of me. So, I'm going to share three instances of how maybe you can hear about or discern what God's plans are for you. When we started the ministry, and this was back 20 years ago, it was not by strength nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We went, Rachel was born in September of 1990. And at the time, I was working for a career direction company. And all of a sudden, I knew, because I was doing the outside sales, is things were getting really dicey. And so Rachel's born, and then October of 90, we go on unemployment, food stamps, and WIC because I get laid off. And if you want to try to exist on $247 a week for a family of six, that's what the unemployment was. And do you remember what was going on back then? The Gulf War. I had 40 interviews because I knew every personnel director in Portland because I did outside sales for this company for years. And I actually got hired on a Friday at a Holiday Park Hospital downtown. It was a psych hospital, no longer there. Everybody's in jail now. No, I'm just sorry. And so I got hired because I knew the CEO, right? And on Monday, they froze all jobs. So after 40 interviews, and literally 40 interviews I had, nothing. I had gone back to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in May of 90, and I met the Billy Graham of Pittsburgh, Jim Leckie, and we wanted to work together, but we had to wait till we had Rachel, and then we were going to move to Pittsburgh. That closed down. Then our couples fellowship broke up, not broke up, but they all went up north to Washington, and there goes our fellowship, right? Not a great time. So holding Rachel on the couch, the Lord said, what did you see in Pittsburgh? Well, in Pittsburgh, there was Jim Leckie, and he was Family Ministries. And I felt like the Lord said, I want you to do it here. I go, no, I'm not doing it here. I hate this place. They're freaks. Because we're from New York, right? And we've been out here now. Okay, we did it 10 years. Okay, and everybody's waiting for us to come back home, you know. Okay, lay on the couch for a while. What'd you see in Pittsburgh? Family Ministries. Do it here. No, I don't want to do it here. I hate here. Okay, and sit on the couch for a while. So in, I think it was January of 91, February 90, 91, is when we first put the paperwork in to start the ministry. It was not out of our own strength. So sometimes you can get direction based on everything falling apart around you, okay? And then going, Lord, you know, like Paul, he tries to go north, right? He tries to go east. He tries to go south. And then he's thwarted each one of those areas in the book of Acts. And all of a sudden, he goes to sleep after he banged his head so many times he fell asleep. And he has this Macedonian vision, and he goes west. And that's how the gospel started to go west, okay? So sometimes it's just headbanging. And that's how we started the ministry, literally started it with nothing. So it would not be based on anybody's strength or anybody's power or anybody's might. It was all based on the Lord. Then there was something when I went to work of I was put in charge of doing these outside contacts for the ministry or for the business. And I didn't know one thing about going to personnel directors and everything else, right? So I got down on my knees and I just said, Lord, you got to help me because my boss is like banging on my head. Who'd you see? Who'd you see this week, right? And I'm just going to tell you because this is how it worked. There was the a very large magazine at the time. It's probably online now. That listed all the top 25 companies in each area. You know, like there'd be construction area, there'd be banks, there would, you know, the top 25. It's the Business Journal's top 25, it's called. So I'm just praying there, and the Lord says, turn to page 19. Oh, come on. That's like this, you know. Let's see, I'm going to go like this. Judas hung himself. Oh, no. What you're going to do, go do quickly. Oh, no, no, no. You know, that kind of stuff. So here it is, page 19 on this Business Journal, right? And I open it up, and it's all the top construction, you know, firms and in the Portland area. And I'm like, that's my vain imagination because nobody's going to do outplacement for people laid off in construction. They just lay them off. And we were doing outplacement to help people find new jobs. And I felt like the Lord said, you have little faith. So on the right-hand side on this page is a listing of all the top remodels and construction things that they did and where they did it. In every one of those places is where we got outplacements from, and I would get a commission from it. I'm telling you the truth. It was page 19. We used to talk about it all the time. So I just followed that. So there would be a couple banks, and then there'd be some hospitals and this and that. And my boss was always like, why didn't he go to all the hospitals? Why didn't he go to all the banks? Why didn't he go, you know, whatever. You know, logic says, go to all this, go to all this. Because it wasn't on the list. And I went, and I told him, you know, I told him this past year about it. And he was like, what? So literally, Good Samaritan Hospital, I'd go there, and I'd meet Father Trujillo, who was the chaplain, and he would say, oh, we were looking for somebody like you. We need to have help for guys that are laid off and whatever. And so we would get business from that. And to let you know what went on with the money, I told Tony nothing out of our standard operating budget would go to pay for seminary because I'm going to seminary at the time, 1986 to 1990. She goes, where's the money going to come from? I go, I don't know. I'm just supposed to go to seminary. All of that commission money went to pay seminary. Everyone. So my father, my earthly father, paid for York College. I paid for Shippensburg, and my heavenly father paid for seminary. All the way through. Little did I know that we would live like that for 20 years after. He never tells you that. No, he just says, this, I'm going to supply it. So that was page 19. How do you get direction? I don't know. You just pray and you say, Lord, show me. Just show me. You know? Sometimes it's situations and circumstances. How did they know where Jesus was? The star showed them, right? Well, three wise men came from different parts and they all followed the same star. And they all got there. And finally, the start of the church. This church did not start out of, I think we can do it better than anybody else can do it. In fact, I, long ago, always felt like we were supposed to have a church, but Tony, God bless her, she said, I don't think your character matches having a church. So, when we all met back in 05, I guess it was originally, she says, I think it's time to that, you know, time to start the church. I go, well, you can wait and so can God. So we waited 2 more years. We waited 2 more years. Here, dear. Here, why don't you
put that on tape? Put it on tape so we have a witness. I was sitting in my office and it was like I was doing a Bible study and God goes, you go across the hall and tell him it's okay to start a church. And I'm like, no, I'm not going there. And God says, you're going to tell him that and you're keeping your hands off of it. And I'm like, okay. So I trudged across the way and I went into his office and I go, God says this is the time to start a church and I'm to keep my hands off of it. And his mouth literally hung open. And I went, that's all I'm supposed to tell you. And he goes, you'll do that? I go, yep, I'm keeping my hands off of it. And then that's when he came back like 15 minutes later and he goes, I'm just like, I'm mad at you and God. And it's exactly what he said. He goes, you guys can just wait now. And I'm like, and I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to keep my hands off it. That's between you and him. If he strikes you dead, I get insurance. No.
So it was 2 more years. 05 to 07. Wrestling, you know, because, you know, if you're going to say no, would you please say no, Jesus, because that's his given name here. You can't say no and Lord in the same sentence, because if he's your Lord, you can't say no. Right? All right. So just say no, Jesus, no, Jesus, no, Jesus, instead of Lord, no. Sweet Jesus, yes. So in 07, that's finally, I said, all right, Lord, okay. So obviously there was character issues that were necessary, but so that's when we started in 07. Well, actually, we should have started 2 years earlier, but I was too stubborn and mad at God. So, how do you get direction from that? You know, there are some things that the Lord lays out, and he sees how you prepared, how you've been prepared all these years and stuff. And then it's people coming along and confirming things or not confirming things. You know, do you bust through a door when it's closed? You know, really, I mean, there's a lot of times where we go on our own power and our own strength, and you end up with Ichabod over the doorpost. And Ichabod means the glory past. And so you don't want to. This is one of my, just think about this right now. This is an Isaiah 50. I just read this to somebody the other day. Isaiah 50, 10 to 11. Listen to this. Who among you fears the Lord, who obeys the voice of his servant, capitalized, who walks in darkness and has no light? When you're in darkness, right, don't you want somebody to put a light? I remember when the lights went out at Cannon Beach one time with a big storm, and I had one of those lights on my watch. That thing lit up the whole hallway because it was pitch dark, just that little light. Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. When you're in darkness, you don't have any light, you do fear the Lord, and you want to obey the voice of a servant, when in doubt, don't. Just don't. If you're in doubt, don't do it. Trust in the Lord and rely upon his God. Because it says, this is what it says in verse 11. It says, look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, like, I'm going to light my own fire and I'm going to find my own way. Walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that you kindled, and this you shall have from my hand, you shall lie down in torment. That's not good. So if you're in darkness and you have no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon him. He will open things up. If you force a door or you light your own fire, you're going to get burnt. I've seen it over and over. And I am the worst at it because I'm a natural initiator. And when I get stressed, I start things. I start little fires everywhere and everybody gets burned by them. And Tony's like, stop, stop, stop. So I've had to learn, stop, right, Rose? That's right. Rose knows. Yes. Oh, no, he's initiating. He's stressed. No. But that's what you do. See, that's a natural talent run amok. So you have to recognize how God made you, operate in that. And when there's darkness, just wait. Wait upon him. Pray. Keep relying on him. Don't light your own fire. Otherwise, you're going to get burned. Seen it. So here's summary. We need to do the walking that he already set in the yellow pages before us. Remember, let your fingers do the walking through the yellow pages. Well, he already put the yellow pages together. You just have to walk in them. We need to inquire or call and check out and discern what God has given us to do. And we need to activate it. That means walk in it. Regulate your life around it. Conduct oneself and order one's behavior. We are to order our behavior within the sphere of these good works. Walk in those things. Our final object in life is to make these good works the very element of our life. So if God's the one that's plowing the head, we need to walk in them. And just discern, all right, Lord, it seems like you're opening this up. It may not be my choice. It may not be the perfect thing that I think, but you know what? It seems like you're doing something here. Not in competition with another, or you don't downgrade another's good works. Inferiority is the root of competition. The body all works together for the betterment of the whole. So where do you fit? What are your good works? What has God made ready for you to walk in? You need to ask him. Might be surprised. I remember when we first got here, I went downtown because I felt like I was supposed to do something for like the, what is it down there? What, Union Gospel Mission, you know, things like that. And I brought some old clothes down there and stuff and sat and served meals and stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it was like, that's not me. I mean, it really wasn't me. The Lord had always had me been around college students, older people. I love older people, you know. I love going to the hospitals. I love going in hospitals and praying with people. Even the pastors at Beaverton Foursquare said, you're weird, man. I said, I thought you're supposed to do that. But just see where the Lord opens that up and where you feel comfortable and ask him, what should I do? What should I walk in? You know? If he's prepared it ahead of time, then all you got to do is like the little kid, you know, walk in the parents' boots in the snow. Already plowed it. All right, well, let's put our Bibles aside, and I got through three verses there, so, and we'll keep going in Ephesians next week. So let's pray. And Paul, if you want to pass around the baskets for tithes and offerings, and then, like I said, this week, if there's any other person that you know or anything that wants to go to the Screwtape letters, let me know, because we have the special rate now that we've got over, actually, we're in the 20s now, so over 20 people. All right. Father, we thank you for this day. You know, it's just faith building, talking about starting the ministry, talking about page 19, talking about starting the church. And Lord, we need to realize these works. We need to be cognizant of them in faith, walk in them, and rest in them, because you're the originator, the original originator, not our actions, not our merits, not we don't earn it, not by strength nor by power, but by your spirit, Lord. And so we just pray that we would order our behavior within the sphere of these good works that you have prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them, that they're the very element of our life and the domain in which our actions move and are realized, and that we appropriate them into our lives. And Lord, help us not to compare ourselves with other people or downgrade somebody else's good works, Lord, because the body's supposed to fit together for the betterment of the whole. And so help us to do that and listen to what you have for us and walk in it. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.